good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This South Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima. And all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is Daryl VO1UKZ. His location is Newfoundland. Not sure of his temperature, but sure hope we hear from him. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And my location is beautiful Port St. Lucie in South Florida, where currently we have a temperature, I believe, about 75. It was a high of about 84 today and maybe a low of 66 and possibly some storms, but hopefully not. But prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. Okay, no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. But I did want to say that our backups this evening are actually KY6B and KC2RMO, some very knowledgeable people in technology. So this looks to be a great session. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week, last week, maybe tonight, before I continue?
W4RFJ was celebrating KA3TJ's birthday last Friday. Over.
And RMO with a third-party birthday next week.
All right, that's super. Two birthday stations. Now, I knew about Charlotte, and I believe her birthday was March the 13th. That is Roger's lovely wife, who actually we had the pleasure of meeting and spending some time with. But Friday the 13th, hopefully she had a great birthday. And thank you, Mr. RMO. I believe it's Stephanie's birthday. But I'm going to first call on Mr. RFJ, if possible. Maybe he has that third-party traffic that would like to share what she did on her birthday. So, Roger, how about coming aboard?
Okay, Miss Sunshine. Miss Charlotte is not with me right at this moment, but I did want to share with the group that we actually went down to Clearwater, and she got to watch her Phillies play against the Tampa Bay Rays. So I'm in the process of delivering dinner, which I had to go about 30 miles to get to. But anyway, I'll be home shortly, and I'll be monitoring the net as we go, Kathy. We had a great time, and the Phillies won. Over.
Thanks for sharing that, Roger. And I knew that, but no one else did. So thanks for sharing that with us. And I doubt you went 30 miles. But I understand, if I'm understanding it correctly, you're in North Carolina. And we've heard that there's another storm headed in your general direction up there in Pennsylvania, but Mr. RMO tells me it's not very much for him. So hopefully you can participate, Roger, this evening and contribute to our session. And if not, we hope that you'll listen. So with that, I'll break with you, and I'll pick up one of the backups, Mr. Gary, RMO. And I think he has some third-party traffic. Maybe she or he would like to share what they plan to do for that special birthday coming up. So, Mr. Gary, I'll throw it your direction. KC2RMO from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And hello there, everybody. It is a third party birthday. It's my wonderful darling wife, who will be celebrating her birthday on 3/25. And why, here she is now. Step up to the mutual microphone and say hello to everybody. Well,
tonight.
See, that's what it is. You were back there diligently working on your post for school, and here I am. I've got you into hot water, talking to all the good folks here. You should step a little closer to the microphone so we can hear you.
I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Well, that's because so much of it is going to be a surprise. You have lovely things coming your way on the 25th. That's all I can tell you. But we've told it before the assembled...
Millions of people.
close to it. We're starting on a million people. Onto the assembled folks here at South Cars. So... But are you looking forward to this birthday?
No, not at all.
You will when it's all done. We'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, Ms. Stephanie and Gary and Roger, I want to thank you for joining our birthday stations. But I'd like to share something with each and every one of you, and that is Gordon and my very first anniversary, which is on March the 26th. Not a birthday station, but an anniversary station. So let's continue. You know, this is a monthly Thursday informational net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. I do want to advise everyone that this session is going to be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, so all those participating will definitely be part of that recording. So I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. I look forward to the session. So I'm going to actually throw it over to you, Daryl, and see how you can get this started. But, you know, I have a general question out there that you can maybe tell me a little while later. What do you do when you have one of those nice terabyte external drives, or several in my case, that actually do not work and you've lost every bit of information because you were silly enough not to save it elsewhere? So I'm going to throw it over to you, Daryl. Have a wonderful session, and I'm listening, and I'm actually recording, and I hope that you have a lot of fun tonight. So VO1 UKZ from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, you know, the floor is all yours.
Is there a comment?
The station coming in through IRLP with a comment. Go ahead, VO1 UKZ.
Yeah, this is NITVT from Northwest Wisconsin. It's a good comment as far as the cake and stuff. It reminds me years ago when my former wife and I, we were having a party over at our house, and coming to find out when we opened up the gifts at the after party, it was her nephew's birthday, and everybody thought that they forgot his cake and birthday. So I took one of the layers from our wedding cake and put birthday candles on it and told everybody, hey, we got a special guest, it's his birthday. And my former mother-in-law said, what are you doing with birthday candles? And I told her, I'm using a pinch of feathers off a chicken. So the little kid had his birthday party after all. NITVT.
There you go. Well, at least it all worked out in the end there for sure. All right, excellent stuff. Going to start things off here this evening. We're here to talk tech on this monthly TIN net this evening, and hopefully we can provide some useful information about computers, both in the home and in a mobile sense, the different things you can do with them, and the different things to look for when you're buying one, you know, in regard to the different types of power and performance and those words like cores and gigabytes and all of that, and hopefully we'll be able to sort a little bit of that out if anybody has any questions in regard to any of that this evening. So we'll start off, I suppose, with a little bit of information. My name is Liv here in St. John's, Newfoundland, as Kathy said. And thank you very much, Kathy, for getting everything started off here this evening. And hopefully we'll have a good program. We usually do when we get together to do this type of thing. So I guess we'll get started. Computers, in general. Broad term. Different ways to look at them, I suppose. You got your laptops. Now this day, and then this day and age, you know, you've got your tablets and your smartphones that are pretty much more powerful than any laptop, really, with quad core and octa core processors in these things. Just let me drop it for. And with all the buzzwords like gigabytes and different cores and things and processors, sometimes you know, getting into all of this stuff can be a little bit confusing or overwhelming for some people. So hopefully we can, you know, get a few topics covered here this evening on various platforms. I mentioned tablets and smartphones, a few different varieties when it comes to those types of things. You've got ones that run on Android operating systems, which pretty much, you know, cover 75% of the marketplace, let's just say. And then you've got iOS-powered devices that are made by Apple. And then, of course, you've got Microsoft as well now, who are trying to get into the mobile operating system genre, I guess we could say, in a big way, with their Windows 8.1 coming out in the past couple of years on tablets and variations made for smartphones. Now we've got this new out and talk about called Windows 10. I guess they just decided to skip version 9 altogether and go with Windows 10. So we're going to talk about that this evening as well. So, first of all, I suppose before we dive into all of this, I'll answer Kathy's question there real quick. And there is definitely some things you can do if you've got a lot of on those busted drives. There are data recovery places, and you live in a fairly sized area. There should be some of those, you know, around somewhere. I know Geek Squad at one of the big box stores handle stuff like that, data recovery and whatnot. But you know, the best way, I guess, to answer that would be prevention in the first place. Backup, always backup. Anyway, with that, hopefully that helps, Kathy, and I'll throw it over to Gordon before we get the ball rolling and say good evening to you, sir. KY6V, VO1UKZ.
Well, thank you very much, Professor, and appreciate you being the master of ceremonies tonight. Gordon here, KY6V. I don't have too much to add. I would probably ask you, for starters on this program, to explain your thinking of where the heck we are going. You know, we started off with, and I'm going to stay away from the laptops and the tablets for a moment. Stay with the current computers and say, all right, we started off with single core, and then we went to dual core, and then we went to quad core, and now we're up to octal. Where the heck is this going to stop? And how much additional memory is probably recommended for each step up in this multiple CPU configuration? Back to you, sir. Over.
Yeah, QSL. Well, I guess that is going to involve what to look for when you're buying a new system. I guess it all depends when it comes to all of this stuff, what you're looking for. What do you want? And that's what it all boils down to in the end. I mean, these things now, these computers, laptops especially, I haven't seen a desktop computer, you know, thinking about where we're going. Think about for a second where we've been. All but disappeared overnight, it seems. But you very rarely see them anymore. I mean, you know, some of us computer guys have still got them around, of course, but everything now, I mean, it's either laptops on the shelves, you know, tablets next to them, and then smartphones off to themselves. I mean, you barely even see a full-size computer anymore. So it brings us back, I suppose, to this whole mobile computing age. Everybody wants everything portable. They want it powerful, and they want it small or large in the case of smartphones, I guess. Those things just seem to keep getting bigger, and our computers seem to getting smaller. So, I mean, when are the two just going to merge together, and we're going to get Well, I suppose that's here. I guess I answered my own question before I spit out the sentence. I mean, you've got these phablets now, these 7-inch quad-core and octa-core phones. So, I mean, when you ask where's things going, sky's the limit, I can see. I mean, there's no real necessity for all of this extra power and these extra upgrades every single year. They're coming out with new models. So let me drop it for a second. And where are we going? Wow, that's a mouthful. I mean, there's so many different aspects to consider. When you consider the size of the amount of storage you want in a device is one thing, and that varies. If you're getting a laptop, let's say you're going to want 500 gigabyte hard drive, let's say, to a 1 terabyte drive now is pretty much standard, and that's 1,000 gigabytes. So, I mean, that's a ton of numbers, but that's your laptop. And then when you look at, you know, a tablet or a smartphone, you're looking at, you know, 16 gigabytes, 32 gigabytes, 64 gigabytes in the larger cases. And that's pretty much all that's required for these mobile operating systems. Not only has the size of these devices shrank, but the size of the operating systems and what storage space are required to run these things. So it just complicates the situation more from my perspective, Gordon. You know, there's just really, it makes it a lot more difficult for a consumer to understand what they're going in and looking for. I mean, when it comes to a tablet this day and age, you can pretty much do anything on a tablet that you can accomplish with a full-size laptop or a full-size desktop computer. And oftentimes, even more so, you know, I'm using one right now here in front of me with, you know, a digital pen in my hand and writing on this you know, a nice 10.1-inch screen, just as if it were a sheet of paper or a book with unlimited sheets of digital paper in it. So, I mean, the technology is just, it's getting to be beyond what, you know, people can really handle. And then now you've got, like I said, the multiple operating systems to choose from in these mobile devices. You know, Android and now, like I mentioned earlier, Windows 10 we were going to talk about here this evening, and that's, you know, another whole can of worms altogether, because Microsoft are completely going to be changing up the game again on their new operating system. So then that just adds a whole another kettle of fish for everybody to learn with a whole new brand new operating system, when you've still got, you know, 25% of the population that even hates Windows 8.1. Then you've got probably 10% still using Windows XP, and the rest have gone on to Windows 8.1 and are going to be transitioning to Windows 10. Let me drop it for a second. So, I guess in the regard of the operating systems, Windows is going to be making several changes. I suppose I'm just going to stop it here for a few anyhow and see if there's anybody that wants to jump in here and say hello, anybody that has any questions or anything, take a little pause, rest my vocal cords a little bit, VO1-UKZ.
RMO with a comment.
Yeah, and Six Victor with a rebuttal.
KC2, RMO, VO1-UKZ, good evening, sir. Go ahead.
And good evening to you, sir. Good to hear you tonight. And a great subject. These are always awesome nets. You know, the one thing, boy, you started me thinking about a couple of things. And, you know, me, you know, I have a phablet. I have a Samsung Galaxy Mega. My darling wife has a Samsung Galaxy Note. These are monstrous phablets. These things are huge. They're like CinemaScope. And, you know, this is the house of computers. We've got laptops. We've got, I don't know, 3 or 4 different types of OS is running through here, and you know it's nuts. But the one thing that I kind of wanted to comment on, and I think you're going to probably be getting into this, so I'm not going to go too deeply into it. But when Gordon asked the question about where are we going, I was the first thing that came to my mind was was kind of a big picture thing, and that's where Microsoft wants to take everything. And this is the sort of thing that I remember. You know, back when I was in school taking information systems, back in the back around 2002, they were talking about the grand vision for everything, and I think we're probably at that point now, where that vision wants to be realized, and that is that one word, convergence. You know, convergence. If you basically is, you know, one functionality between all these different devices, between your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, your phone, everything. They all work the same way. They all work together. And I know you're probably going to be talking about a lot of that and some of the things that make it work. But I'm not. So I'm not going there. But I think that's where everything's kind of steering. And it's going to be interesting to hear more about that as the night goes through. The only other thing that I wanted to touch base on was there are some cool things out there that are very very geeky oriented types of things especially for those of us who like to mess around with that sort of thing. Let me buy a nickel. The other day was Pi Day. And I'm a Pi Day fan, and I came across Raspberry Pi computer, the little dedicated computer. And I was going to throw that out for anybody's comment to see if they have any experience with it, because it's something I kind of want to be fooling around with, but I don't know really what I can do with it. So I'd like to hear some feedback on that. So that's what I've got to say for right now. We'll throw it back to you, sir. This is KC2RMO. Back to the net.
Thanks a lot, Gary. Yeah, I had that in my head, actually, to mention as well, and I'm glad that you just put it in the forefront of my mind again, the Raspberry Pi. Yeah, it's quite the invention. And for us ham operators, I'm going to talk about this as we get into things here this evening, but it's a great little invention for people that are not familiar with it or what its capabilities are. It's a great little invention, and there's a lot of little things that we can do when it comes to the Raspberry Pi. All right, we'll go ahead and pick up Gordon. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, thank you, Daryl, and good evening to you there, Mr. Gary. And hi, Stephanie, KY6V. I think that Gary really put forth the question that I was asking. Where are we going? Is there going to be a melding, in your opinion, Daryl, of the operating systems? Is Microsoft and Apple ever going to get together? Are the the Androids using Linux all going to meld together? I mean, let's put some sense into this gymnastics. Raspberry Pi. I had the pleasure of meeting with Roger and his bride Charlotte here over the last week, Gary, and he had 3 Raspberry Pis in his backpack, and he pulled it out and says, "Have you ever seen anything like this?" And it was the size of a cigarette pack. And he's with us tonight, so I'm sure that he will have a lot to say on what he's planning on that. Any rate, Daryl, back to you. Do you think this family of, how do I want to put this politely, misconstrued manufacturers will ever get their act together? Over.
Gordon, to put it bluntly, I really, really have my doubts that that's ever going to happen anytime soon. But Gary raised a great point, and yourself as well, when it comes to device unity and compatibility amongst all of our various devices. Because we've all pretty much now got a laptop. We've all pretty much, used tablets. And everybody and their grandmother has a smartphone. So, how does this all fit together? And that brings me to my first topic that I want to talk about this evening. Windows 10. Microsoft, with their Windows 8.1, made a conscious effort to try and develop an operating system that would work on multiple platforms. And for the most part, they did a decent job. They're still very much lacking, I think, in the smartphone department. But in regard to desktop and a tablet operating system, I think that they're definitely headed in the right direction. Now, as opposed to everybody getting together and playing friendly and coming out with one device that's going to run on all the tablets and one that's going to run on all the laptops, that just isn't going to happen. But at least with Windows 10, I think they're headed a bit in the right direction. For once, they're not going to be charging an installation charge or a one-time activation fee. From the reports I've gotten, anyhow, it doesn't seem that they're going to be doing that. It seems that Windows 10, at least, is going to be a free upgrade. So anybody that has a Windows 8 smartphone, a laptop, a tablet, is apparently going to be getting Windows 10 as an upgrade. Now, I don't know yet if you're going to be able to opt out of it for the people that don't want to do it. And I think you'll at least require Windows 7 or 8. So you Windows XP folks, and you know who you are, people that just don't want to let go of Windows XP, you don't have to worry about it. It's not even an option. But for Windows 7 and 8, folks, it's definitely something that we've got to think about. Let me drop it for a second. First of all, the upgrade. Apparently, the tile interface that a lot of people didn't like about Windows 8 is going to be disappearing. For the most part, disappearing. The old Start menu is going to come back, because I know that was a problem for a lot of people. And a reason why a lot of people didn't like Windows 8 was the Start menu wasn't there anymore. It was turned into a screen. So they're going to be bringing back the Start menu and incorporating a small chunk just to the right of the Start menu, where these little tiles, these little live tiles, if you still want to have a few of those pinned to your Start menu, you still can. So that's one of the big cosmetic changes, I suppose, with the new operating system that people that want to adopt it are going to have to get used to. But then they've also added a multiple desktop component to the operating system, so you can, have let's say all your work programs run on one desktop, and then just one click away, you can have your personal stuff all set up, and it would decrease the need for multiple tablets or laptops in that regard for home and business use. So I think that's a good way to join things together. Same operating system for work, same operating system for play. And the ability to run it on multiple platforms, being tablets and smartphones and laptops, desktops, etc. So they're headed in the right way with multi-device unity in regard to Windows 10. So I personally think it's going to be worth the upgrade. Now, I'm a person who enjoys playing with this kind of stuff and getting in and figuring out how it all works and, to get used to it. And with the line of work that I'm in, I have to get used to the new stuff anyway. So, it's just not an option for me to stay behind on the operating system. So I've already been running this thing for a little over 6 months now, Windows 10. Let me drop it. Okay, hopefully I didn't time anything out. But so I don't really have much of a choice. I'm going to have to adopt the new Microsoft platform. And we're hoping, I've still heard nothing on this, but there's been some rumors that there maybe will be a yearly fee associated with it, like they're doing with their Office 360 now, or Office 365. Now, that's not confirmed. I haven't really heard any guarantees on anything like that. The most I heard about Windows 10 is it's going to be a free upgrade, and that's it. But, they could really go any way with it. We never know. After all, it is Microsoft, and they are a multi-billion-dollar corporation, so they could really head in any direction on that. And, with all of that said, then you've got Android. That's another a whole different ball game altogether. And, Google has got their themselves wrist-deep or elbows-deep in the whole Android thing. So that's another multi-billion-dollar corporation that's back in that whole platform. It's crazy complicated when you want to get into it. So I suppose before I go any further and get into all the Android stuff, are there any questions from the crowd on any of this Windows 10 stuff, or in regard to what is the a good way to go when it comes to tablets, laptops, anything for the future, or any questions? Anybody that just wants to jump in there this evening, this is
RMO with a comment and a question.
And Victor X-Ray Papa with a comment.
And FQV just want to say I'm here. You probably, if you're on Echolink, you'll see all the list. KCFQV, Mark.
Okay, excellent stuff. Go ahead, Gary. KC2RMO, VO1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. You are much more familiar with this than I am. So, again, I'll let you comment on it, because this is something I'm just learning about in Windows 10. And apparently that the core to the whole vision of this, you know, integrated environment is a thing called server message block, SMB protocol. So they've invented this new protocol that supposedly makes everything easier to work with everything else, and that's, I guess, the core to the whole thing. The way I understand, the second thing I had was, I wanted to just kind of know what you knew about SMB. The other thing that I was questioning, or had a question about, rather, was the way I understand it is that it's going to be a free upgrade from Windows 8. It is going to be a free upgrade from Windows 7, but if you're running Windows 7, they're only going to give you 1 year to do it. There was no restriction that I knew of on 8, but there was a drop dead time on 7. You know, you had to say, okay, I'm going to make the plunge up to 10 and abandon 7, but you got 1 year to do that. But 8, I guess you can take your time with it anyway. So that was that, and then the last question I had, and this is, you know, we can segue this into the Android section anyway, but you sparked me thinking about something. Android is Linux, and I just wonder, is it possible to run Android on a desktop? I'm sure somebody who's probably had nothing better to do has managed to do it. It probably takes a lot of futzing around, you know, but are you familiar with anybody ever having done that? So I'll throw those things out there into the mix, and we'll send it right back to you, sir. KC2RMO, back to the net.
Yeah, QSL, Gary. No, I'm not familiar with that new protocol and server environment, actually, and I'm not up on that stuff at all at the moment, believe it or not. But perhaps on your next go-around, you can fill me in on that one, as I'd be interested in hearing about that. I've only looked into Windows 10 as a desktop environment or operating system for laptops, let's say, and tablets and stuff. I haven't looked at the front end stuff at all, but definitely something I'd like to get into. Yeah, when it comes to Android, it's a toned down version of Linux. It's locked in a sense when you first get your device. I mean, you can open them up when it comes to the Android devices themselves, and there are desktop variations of computers, that full functioning computers that are high end, that are running the Android operating system. So it is being done, but you have to use a certain type of processor to install Android correctly and have it run correctly, because those are the types of architecture that it's built upon. So just taking it and running it, installing it on any old Windows operating system. Now, mind you, there are variants that can install on Intel processors quite nicely, but for the most part, they're using ARM7-based processors in the Android devices. So there's a difference in that type of thing in the computer hardware itself, to be able to do that type of thing. But we'll get into the Android stuff now in just a few minutes after these. Next two gentlemen, Rick, VXP. Go right ahead, sir, and good evening.
Good evening, all. N1 VXP here. Yeah, somebody brought it up to my attention that in the future it may not be what we call laptops or tablets, but the new word of the day is called laplet. Okay, taking in consideration what I consider the laptops that have the removable keyboard, so they could actually be carried around like a tablet. Definitely sounds interesting, and definitely something that probably will be more common than having the separate units. And as far as Windows 10, I understood that Windows 8, there is a way to avoid having that automatically update on your system. But then again, I think people are going to be a little leery when Windows 10 becomes a standard operating system on future computer laptops and tablets. It's going to be quite interesting to see really what it all boils down to. And I don't particularly plan on doing beyond 8.1, and I hope I can stay on that for a while. N1CXP, back to net control.
Thank you very much, Rick. Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to agree with you when it comes to the new operating system. Like I said, I still know a lot of people that won't let go of Windows XP and just refuse to, you know, they still use the old equipment. They don't want to buy new computers because they know they're going to get Windows 8.1, and they've heard so many ghost stories and war stories about it that, you know, it's not good and it's really hard to use. But the fact of the matter is, eventually it's going to have to happen. You know, computer manufacturers and software manufacturers in general are not making their software backward compatible far enough anymore in a lot of cases to still run on Windows XP. And it's going to get worse. I mean, people are eventually going to have to upgrade. And if you're going to take the plunge, in the next couple of years anyway, if you're going to take the plunge and you're going to buy a new computer, you probably are going to get Windows 10. So, I mean, you would have then, at that point, skipped over the entire Windows 8.1 thing. You would have never had to learn it because Windows 10 is going to be different again and a whole new ballgame. So anybody that's going to be taking the plunge, you know, I recommend that just go with the new Windows 10 stuff and learn it. And, you know, it'll all go accordingly after that. And in regard to convertibles, we'll touch on them in a little bit. That is, you know, a really popular item this day and age. And I hadn't even thought to mention it this evening, Rick, but you made a really good point. Convertibles are a fantastic solution if you you want a laptop, but at the same time you want a tablet. So that's an option for people in that regard, and I'll speak about that in just a second. But we're going to go ahead first and say hello to FQV. Good evening, sir.
Hello, KCLQV. I just was, Rick reminded me about the net tonight, so I figured, hey, I want to stop by and listen, and yeah, there's a lot of good information to be had. So we'll just send it back. Mark, this is KCFQ, Mark in Northeast Ohio. So we'll send it back to that. Yeah, I got a number. It's something like 1600 and something or whatever, but I've checked in a few times. So we'll send it back to that. Don't tie it up.
Yeah, QSL, excellent. Well, thanks for dropping in and saying hello this evening anyhow. Yeah, I guess before we start and pick it up again, I'll mention quickly what Rick said because we're going to, you know, get into a transition here and talk about Android, you know, another choice in the mobile computing market here now in a few minutes. But before we do that, convertibles in the, you know, the between laptop and tablet type of thing, they're, you know, the best of both worlds, I guess you could say. They've got, in most cases, extremely sturdy keyboards on them, and your screen is detachable, and you don't have to power it down or anything like that. You hit a button and you take the screen. So then it's a tablet when you want it. It's a laptop when you want it. Fabulous machines, and they run all of the popular operating systems. Windows 8.1, you can get variants that run Windows 8.1 readily available online and in all kinds of stores. And then you've got various Android devices that are also two-in-one type machines that you can detach the screen from the keyboard and whatnot. So it's you're getting two machines for the price of one. Now, granted, in some cases, they can be a little more pricey because you are getting basically two devices. And, you know, there's a lot of different variants of it. But so that's something to look at as well. You know, if you can't really make up your mind if you want a laptop, you want a tablet, or what way you want to go with it, you know, get a convertible and get the best of both worlds. Let me drop it for a second.
Six, Victor.
Okay, and here we go again. I'll just take a little break here. I'm hearing a couple of messages come up in the text box. Did anyone have a comment? VO1UKZ.
Yeah, just a quick question. Six, Victor.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Daryl. Great program here tonight. Am I correct in my understanding that the Androids are basically based on Linux as opposed to some of the other tablets that are running full 8.1 Microsoft OSs and so on and so forth? And where do you see this going? Over.
Yeah, QSL, Gordon, yeah, Android is a whole nother ballgame altogether, completely separate, completely, if you don't already don't like Windows, and you don't want to mess around with this constant upgrade, constant drastic changes, you know, different layouts on all the different computers that you use, and you want some uniformity in your life. And that's the way I look at it, because I've almost completely 100% moved over to Android. I do still run a couple of laptops, you know, and just VNC into those. But for the, you know, if I need to use Windows for something, I can bring that up on the screen of my Android tablet. So, Android, it's based on an open source platform. So it's similar to Linux in the sense that it's open source. It can be developed for by anybody that has the skills to develop programs in a semi-decent fashion. So there's you know, a lot of new apps that come out every single day to make these tablets and smartphones that are running Android do just about anything under the sun. So it's you know, another real big choice for anybody that wants to get into the to the computing scene. And it's one of my favorite operating systems. So when it comes to Windows, let's say it's your traditional you know, desktop environment, whether you run it on a tablet, whether you run it on a laptop, Android is more geared towards the mobile market. It's geared up for touchscreen, 100% touchscreen interface. Now Microsoft is, you know, they're into the touchscreen interface. That's what they were trying to do with Windows 8.1. I don't really think they've done a fantastic job, but Android has the touchscreen interface and the layout for touchscreens down pat. If you want a device that runs a uniform operating system that's extremely stable, barely ever crashes, can do anything your laptop can do and more, that you can, you know, take with you everywhere you go and get a decent battery life, then a tablet running Android is the way to go. I mean, most of these newer tablets, I'm going to say most because there are exceptions when it comes to octa-core processors, but most of these tablets now are running your average 1.5 gigahertz quad-core processor, a real decent, powerful processor in these basically just screens is all they are. I mean, all of the guts, everything is inside your screen. And they only weigh about a pound for a 10-inch screen. I mean, it's incredible. Just let me drop it for a second. Okay. Yeah, everything is inside your screen. So, I mean, there's, you know, no whole computer to tote around. So it makes life a whole lot easier. But then, of course, if you do want a keyboard and mouse-type interface with an Android-powered tablet, you can get a variety of Bluetooth keyboards and whatnot. So, I mean, you're not out of luck if you you still want the mouse and keyboard now and then. I mean, granted, you know, a 10.1-inch Android tablet, when you pop up the on-screen keyboard, it's a nice big keyboard. I mean, it's not just a tiny little smartphone keyboard you're going to be faced with. So if you're someone that does light typing and, you know, enjoys playing games, online, Facebook, YouTube, watching movies, surfing the web, email, all of this kind of stuff, Android will do all of that, plus 100,000 things that I can't even think of right now. It's that's personally where I see the mobile computing market going, is Android, pretty much. I mean, it's available on all manufacturers, pretty much, except Apple, on all of their devices, Acer, Samsung, HP, Toshiba. Everybody has variants of their computers and tablets now that are running Android. And the only other choice is really Windows, or you can get an iPad. I mean, or, you know, or an iBook, or, you know, MacBook. You'll have to forgive me, I'm not real familiar with all the Apple products, but like you say, we have choices, and Android is definitely a good one. Anybody with any questions? VO1UKZ.
Yeah, let me continue that for a moment. Do I understand correctly that Android is basically Linux? And when you're saying Angela, is that a variation of Linux or what?
No, Android is similar to Linux in the sense that it's open source. And open source, of course, means that anybody can write programs for it. And it's a free operating system. Upgrades are always free. There's never any cost associated with it, anything like that. Except for, you know, people do sell software package variants for it now. But you can still get hundreds and hundreds of thousands of free applications that can do just about anything under the sun. So it's like Linux in that regard. You're not locked down to what Microsoft wants or what Apple wants. it's about the community more so than, you know, just what one manufacturer wants. So everybody can pretty much get their slice of the pie when it comes to Android. Does that answer it for you, Gordon?
Yeah, I think so. Angela is promoted by Google. Is that correct?
Hello.
Are you saying Angela, Gordon, A-N-G-E-L-A, or Android?
Oh, maybe you were saying Android. I thought you were saying Angela. And you've got the chief on board, RFJ. Go ahead, sir.
RFJ, go right ahead.
Okay, guys. Well, I guess my Android program isn't as aggressive as a normal PC or Linux program, and I'm getting aggravated. I keep trying to announce myself to make comments, and been doing that for about the past 30 minutes, so I'm just going to bow out. You guys have fun. W4RFJ, I'll be clear.
Yeah, sorry about that. I haven't heard your call sign or haven't seen your call sign come up. I'm actually using an Android device myself, so I'm not able to monitor the text box while I'm transmitting, so that's kind of off limits. But that's too bad that that it's not working better for you where you're to. I know if you're going through a cell phone connection, the service can sometimes you know, cause huge delays when it comes to Echolink in that regard. But yeah, we'll apologize for that one. VO1UKZ. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pick up, I believe the call was N9TVT, is it? Go ahead, sir, VO1UKZ. I must have made a mistake in writing down a call sign. Not exactly sure. Did you want to jump in, Gary? KC2RMO, VO1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. Yeah, couple of comments. First of all, it's been kind of dicey at times trying to get yourself in, get yourself announced, is your presence announced. For some reason, it seems to be kind of slow from time to time. So I thought that might have been me, but apparently that's not the case. So it's not just exclusive to Roger on that one. Now, couple of things I wanted to mention, and you know, maybe you can expand on it. The first of all is, it was Gordon's question about Android and Linux. Now, it's my understanding that Android is based on the Linux kernel, you know, they that's the core of the thing, and then they, you know, obviously they build it off of that. So am I correct in assuming that that's the first question that I had. That was my understanding of it anyway. The second thing I wanted to do was add a little bit more about this SMB that I was talking about. This has been around for a little while, apparently. SMB is part of Server 2012. It is currently up to version 3 right now. It is similar, or it's based in Samba. So if you're familiar with the Linux protocol, Linux and OS X protocol of Samba, which is used for file sharing and different protocol sharings. That's how you can get very unlikely hardware to talk to each other. I've used Samba to do printer, get talking to printers that one shouldn't normally be able to talk to. I've found that sometimes works for me, but so that's what it's based in. So apparently, this new version that they're going to be working with in Windows 10 is you know, like the Godzilla of Samba or something. I don't know, but apparently this is the big deal. And I guess the focus. Let me just buy a nickel, because Daryl, you had kind of mentioned that too. Or we're leading that way anyway. Microsoft did not score any really big points with business with Windows 8. You know, there was a big learning curve to it. Businesses didn't have the time to mess around with it, and they kind of soundly rejected that. And they want to get, you know, business back. I mean, that's the big thing. Not that a lot of businesses, you know, jumped on OS X or went to Linux, but they didn't upgrade. You know, they were sitting back and saying, well, you know, I'm going to hang on to my Windows 7 machines and probably a goodly amount of XP machines, too. So to move things forward, you know, I think that's probably part of them being so aggressive with this pricing model it's like, okay, you know, we want you back, you know, so you can upgrade for nothing, you know, and then they have this convergence type of model here that's based in this SMB. So I think that's really strongly focused that way, that they want to, you know, there's a strong desire to get businesses back. So that's what I've got right now. I wanted to throw those ones in there and for whatever they're worth. So we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Yeah, QSL. Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, like you say, a lot of the businesses that that I do work for are still back on Server 2003, so it just goes to show how unwilling a lot of companies are to upgrade to a newer operating system. And Roger made a good comment in the text box. I'm trying to read that in between my transmissions, but like you say, I do have a vision problem as well, so it's a little difficult, especially on a smartphone, which I'm using to transmit here this evening. I've got the tablet next to me, and I'm using that to write down some notes, and I'm using the smartphone, so I'm pretty much completely mobile tonight doing the program. But Roger, actually, if you're able to get in there now, you did come in real clear on your last over. And when it comes to Linux, it is a definite, you know, choice when it comes to operating systems. But when it comes to newer computers and people that are getting involved with this whole transition into the mobile platform, I find myself that Linux is very difficult to install, let's say, on a tablet that's already running Android, to tear it down and then root the device and get access to the root file structure to be able to flash it and then install Linux as a secondary operating system or even a primary functioning operating system on some of these devices. So that's really why I didn't touch on Linux this evening. But have you had much experience with trying to run it on a touchscreen device? I know Ubuntu 14 supports touch, and there's a version of Ubuntu, Ubuntu Touch. Have you used Linux on any mobile type platforms or you know, touchscreen interfaces, and have had any great success with it? Because I haven't. Anything you can add in that regard, RFJ? Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Daryl. This is W4RFJ. Are you hearing me okay?
Oh yeah, QSL loud and clear. Yeah, I've experienced some delays over 3G and 4G networks with Echolink. That's probably the problem that you had. And like you say, I haven't been watching the text box closely. But no, jump in by all means. I'm copying you 100%.
Okay. You know, I guess porting Linux to an Android device, I kind of think that as being moot, only because Android is Linux. If you've ever rooted a device, what that does is give you access to the file system, and you can pretty much do whatever you want to do at that point. Most of the devices are sold under, you know, proprietary companies such as Sprint and AT&T and all those, and that's their way of trying to stay in control of what you have access to. However, when you root a device, it's basically a Linux system. I was going to say that Ubuntu, and then you said it, had a touchscreen capability. And there's a couple of others that I play with that takes all the pucker factor out of trying to install Linux to a laptop or a desktop or whatever you want to install it to. I just can't get myself on that pony ride that says Windows 10 is going to be the end all, the beats all. I'm like, you know, in my mind's eye, when I'm looking at the computer industry and what's happening with computers, that open source is going to take the reins. I just feel that that's going to be it. Open source is basically been able to keep up with all the big operating system manufacturers, and it's just, excuse the Admiral while she yells at the quartermaster over here. But anyway, yeah, the Android operating system was developed by a computer enthusiast that wanted to see Linux running on cell phones. And that's how Android took off. There is a version, there is a distribution out there that you could install on a desktop to give you Android, but it's really moot, I think, because Linux in its full-blown version gives you so much more power. Daryl, did I overextend myself there? W4RFJ.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And you're right, 100%. I agree that Android is definitely where it's headed. The whole open source thing and the ability for lesser known developers to write apps for these things. Yeah, no, that's why I think Android is a great operating system, because it is open source, and it is able to run all of these apps that Linux can't run. Granted, now for just the end user is what I'm thinking about here. I mean, when we when I talk about Android as a great operating system, it's for someone to buy an Android device and root it, then remove its partitions, reinstall partitions for Linux. It's complicated for power users. I mean, great. I mean, there's a lot of options out there, but just for the end user, the end consumer, a lot of people have a difficult time getting into Linux because it's not widely distributed like the others are. And I think that's unfortunate, because it is a great operating system. It's far more stable than Windows. Their server environments are a lot stronger. But unfortunately, there's just not enough, support in regard to putting it in the mainstream. I mean, when you go to a big box store and you see computers all laid off on displays, 9 out of 10, you're not going to see one computer in that store that's running Linux. And it's unfortunate. I mean, you can order machines with the Linux distributions already installed. And then there are live CDs that you can pop into a computer and have it run Linux without having to install anything to your hard drive. So if anybody's interested in trying that out, I believe you can Google Linux, download Linux, and you can find a ton of information out there, and a ton of, how-tos and whatnot about how to go about installing it and setting it up. But, in keeping with the topic of the day, I mean, people being unwilling to upgrade, just let me drop it for a second, actually. People being unwilling to upgrade to an operating system like Windows 10, I can completely understand. But a lot of the reason for that is not wanting to learn a new thing, not wanting to change the way you do everything. And to switch to an operating system like Linux as a main driver, it's going to be 100 times more complicated than even that Windows upgrade. That's why I think, it's not really getting the push that it deserves in the, the main user community. But, and that's, like you say, another reason why Android is a very popular operating system, because there you can open up an app store and the end user can see hundreds of thousands of things laid out. Try this, free, everything is free, and download attached to the apps and probably never play with the same thing twice. So it's just, at the end of the day, we're a consumer market. We like to consume devices, new technology, whatever's hot, and at the same time we're consumers of content. So the developer that can deliver the content to the consumer is the one that's going to win at the end of the day. And Android and Hackings and all of the other manufacturers getting on board and throwing tons of money into this stuff. I mean, your Motorola's, your Samsung's, LG, Nokia was bought out by Microsoft. So, any new Nokia devices, there's no new Lumias. They're going to be Microsoft Lumias now. Nokia's, no longer a cell phone manufacturer as far as it stands, because Microsoft consumed it in its venture to push Windows 10 and Windows 8 for the meantime as a mobile operating system that covers everything. But when you look at the larger scope of things, Microsoft only has a small chunk of the pie when it comes to consuming Nokia and releasing the Lumia line as a strictly Windows-powered smartphone. But you've got every other manufacturer under the sun except Apple, who's trying to do their own thing as well. that are pushing Android. They're running, you know, everything is Android. It's going to be pushed primarily to the end consumer as a main consumption operating system. So it's definitely where it's going to be headed. Take another pause here in case anybody's having any trouble jumping in here this evening. I believe we're having a few delays. So I'm going to hold it here for a second and see if there's anybody that wants to jump in with any comments, anybody that has anything to add to the festivities this evening. This is the 01UKZ.
And RMO jumping in with a comment.
Charlie 9, Yankee Zulu Romeo.
Hey, my Charlie Bravo.
6 Victor with a quick comment. Daryl, over.
And W4RFJ to take up the tail there, Daryl.
Okay, excellent. I'm running out of ink here on the smart screen. All right, we'll go ahead and grab Gordon first of all with a quick comment. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, LCB has been trying to get in here. We just received an email that he just can't seem to break in. Some kind of a timing problem. I'd appreciate if you would take him to the top of the list. Over.
Sure will. Yeah, and like you say, I probably haven't been leaving enough spaces for people to jump in there, but I read in the text box there that a few people have been having timing issues, so we'll see where that goes. Yeah, we'll go ahead and pick up George. LCB, go ahead, sir, and good evening.
Well, good evening, and Daryl and everyone else connected. Hope you well with good health and prosperity. Daryl, this, it wasn't your problem as far as delay. I'm having issues here. I thought maybe South Cars banned me or something there. They couldn't route me. They just keep rejecting my connection. So after getting on this tablet and I was having an issue, got on a laptop, I was having an issue, I said, what the hell, I guess they threw me out. Let me take a pause for the calls, and I'll come back with the rest. I caught you very opening, Daryl, as some of the software and Windows coming out, and I did hear you say a Windows 10. But I've been in a situation here for a couple weeks now where I've had an audio tape of a hearing that need to be put into a text form. Now I understand that Dragon puts out a deal there with that you can use to do that. We'll listen to it and also put everything in the text message, and it varies from $70 on up to almost $3.50 for the different flavors of it there. And what I was just wondering if all this new Windows 10 and all, are they going more on the listening to, you know, putting things out in a digital format? Seems like nowadays, every time you have a meeting, it's put on a CD. There's what they call it, dictaphones. That ought to tell you how old I am. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, still scratching his head over this mess.
Excellent, George. Excellent. Yeah, I wish that wasn't happening with the delay, but unfortunately, like you say, it's not a perfect world. And guys, I'd just like to let you know, unfortunately, I'm not monitoring the text box as closely as I probably should. So if when I take a pause for the cause, if somebody wants to jump in there, Gary, if you've got an eye on the text box, maybe you could moderate those comments and whatnot for me. That would be just fantastic. I don't really know in regard to transferring something that's recorded in audio over to text, typewritten text. In regard to the Dragon programs, I'm familiar with Dragon Dictate and Dragon Natural Speaking, which is a dictation program as well. Now, I don't know if you put a computer microphone next to a tape recorder playing back, a tape recorded, you know, recording, if that program is sensitive enough to pick out all of the words properly, along with the gears spinning of the tape recorder and whatnot else. I really don't know. If someone else, you know, maybe has hooked up a line, probably, you know, between the audio output on the tape recorder and the audio in on your computer, perhaps it can probably be done that way, to hook it up and then, you know, with Dragon Natural Speaking or Dictate or one of those. I've got, coming up next, Gary, if you want to add to that or anything, KC2RMO, VO1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. A couple of things. George, I don't know the particulars, but I do know, or up until recently anyway, that there has been a free version of Dragon available. I don't know what it'll do. I don't know anything about it except that there's a free version, and then there's, you know, multiple flavors of paid versions on that. So you may find what you need on the free version. Also, having said that, I think there are other speech-to-text type softwares out there that are available open source that you could probably get your hands on for nothing. You kind of have to shop around a little bit. But Dragon is the one that, you know, everybody uses, and that just might do you right if you can find the free version of it. That said, also, on a personal message here for you. If you could do me a favor and drop me an email, I have a question for you. Gordon had mentioned something that I wanted to talk to you about, so we'll do that. Now, I did also want to comment on Linux. You know, I'm kind of a multiple OS user. I'm talking to you now on a Windows 7 machine. I've got a couple of Macs that are my favorites, and I've also had Linux through the years. I've dual booted into Linux, and I've run Linux off as virtual machines, you know, off of my desktop and what have you. And I forget who made the comment. Let me buy a nickel. You know, Linux has always been a not ready for prime time operating system. You know, if you're kind of a geeky type, you know, it's fine. You don't mind messing with it. But if you need it, you know, if it's mission critical, you don't have time for the learning curve, you know, you're not going to mess with it. It's an extremely stable system. It works great. And, you know, the Internet runs on Linux. You know, it's great if you're a server administrator. But, you know, I've used it from the days of Mandrake and the early versions of Red Hat and Ubuntu. The newer versions of Ubuntu are very good. And the comment that I wanted to make, and it was simply this, that Microsoft actually did something very, very smart with this free 10 upgrade. Because you think about it, if I'm sitting in an enterprise situation, the new version of Linux, especially Ubuntu, are very user-friendly. And if you've got an administrator that can kind of, you know, steer people along the way and give them the support they need, there's absolutely no reason why you'd want to stick with Microsoft. Here's a free operating system that's very stable, that does everything you want it to do. You just need somebody who understands it to kind of to facilitate people. So Microsoft did a really smart thing because, you know, nobody wanted to deal with 8.1, and if you're going to learn a new OS, why not learn something that's going to stay with you for a while, you know, that you're not going to be getting new versions of or you know, that you learn it once, you know, and then you're good to go. So they did a smart thing, I think, in that, you know, because I think people might have started looking along that open source path, and you know, there's really, if I was in a small to medium sized business, even a large size business, if I wanted to stand that sort of commitment, I really would be looking long and hard at Linux and maybe phase that in. I mean, acquisition cost is zilch, and it works real good, you know. So we'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Yeah, fantastic. All excellent points, and especially for a business environment, yes, it is the way to go. And if you're the little guy, just starting up, and you need half a dozen systems, in your business, Linux is definitely the way to go. There's no per seat license. There's no server cost for an implementation if you don't want third party tech support. If you've got your in-house tech, I mean, there's no cost involved in setting it up. I'm going to move right along here and try to pick up these other two stations here before their comments or what they wanted to say is lost. YZR, go ahead, VO1UKZ, welcome to the program.
Okay, Daryl, VO1UKZ, Keith on YZR. Yeah, we did have a guy trying to contact somebody locally here in Merrill, Wisconsin on the repeater. I guess the repeater wasn't timed out, but I think one of the RLP servers or connections or something were timed out. Happened about 5-6 times already so far. Here there's not quite enough break between transmissions. I have tried a few times to get in. I just mainly wanted to say hello. Name here is Bernie, located in Medford, Wisconsin, and I'm going through the Merrill, Wisconsin repeater via IRLP because I don't have any internet at home right now. I've been gone since January. I just wanted to say hello to Gordon and Kathy and Gary, Rick, and you, Daryl, and Mark, and Reed, MITBT. He just wanted to say hello or whatever at the beginning of the net there. And so anyway, Bernie, KC9YZR, and just wanted to say hello. Tomorrow I'm going to the nursing home and visit my mother. It's her birthday, March 20th. That's the first day of spring. It was always her birthday. She'll be 77 years old. I just wanted to let you know that I got WinVista on my 2008 PC. It's on its third power supply. One got knocked off with a power surge from a lightning nearby, and then the second one got knocked off because of a power surge from when the guy was putting in a new line, 220 line for the stove and oven, and he turned off the PC line instead by mistake. I'm going to reset. Hopefully that's a long enough reset. Anyway, then I decided I'm going to put a surge protector in line. I bought one of those temporary taps. It has 6 plugins on it and its own overload protection in it, and also a surge protection unit in it. So, I purchased a Windows 7 license key and downloaded a Windows 7 Home Edition. I was running it on there instead of WinVista. But my Acer Aspire 1 11.6-inch netbook was using Windows 8. Then I got upgraded to Windows 8.1, and yeah, they brought the start menu back again. But I was getting used to the icons that were on the screen. Although anything you installed was way off on the right side, but you could drag it to the left side. I was actually getting used to that. Finally, I just wanted to say hello and let everyone know in South Cars why I wasn't around lately. I don't have internet at home. And so back to you, Daryl. One final note. I wonder if you have any ideas or any thoughts about the solid-state drives, the SSDs there, as opposed to a regular drive. VO1UKZ, KC9YZR.
Yep, QSL. I'll touch on some information about SSDs now in just a second, but we'll go ahead and pick up RFJ. Go ahead.
Okay. Daryl, thank you very much. I guess some of the thoughts that I've been having here, I mean, Gary, you have some very valid thoughts about Linux, especially when you say it's not normally treated as a production system, but I have to beg to differ in the sense that there are distributions that are ready and you install it and you've got everything there at your fingertips. One of my favorites is Mint,
There's a couple of versions, the Mate, and there's another one that has better graphics. I'm trying to remember what it is right off the top of my head, but I usually run Mate. And the fact that Wine is so far along, I can even run Office, and a lot of my old XP programs on that Linux box without any modification. It just works. I know the biggest issue with a lot of the operating systems is accessing input-output devices. And that is where Windows has taken away the pucker factor. However, even without the pucker factor, I can tell you right now, I've installed Linux Mint on devices and have everything work right out of the box. Windows could not do any of that. None of the versions that I had, I think up through Windows 7. I didn't try Windows 8, but you know, the drivers are an issue. That you got to wrestle with it to get the I/O working. But let me grab a nickel. Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, I promote using Linux mainly because it's open source, and you don't have to jump through hoops to find an answer to any problems. There's hundreds of people available via the internet to provide assistance with that, and or there's always the Google search bar or a search engine of your choice. And you know, it's I think Windows is, or Microsoft is, grasping at straws. They change things so often, but if you go to a Linux box, it's always backward compatible. And that's where I feel Microsoft lets us down. Everything's backward compatible usually with Linux, especially if you're using a specific type of distribution, whether it be in Debian or Slackware or any of the others. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. Thanks for letting me talk. Go ahead, Daryl. W4RFJ.
RMO with a quick comment when I can, sir.
And 6 Victor with a quick comment.
All right, go ahead and pick it up, Gary, and then toss it over to Gordon when you're done. RMO to take it, VO1UKZ.
Thank you, Daryl. I just wanted to clarify something. I believe very firmly that the newer versions of Linux are perfectly usable. The older versions weren't quite ready for prime time, but the newer versions, yeah, let them rip. And that's what I'm saying. If you have somebody that's your administrator that has some understanding, you know, even though they are obviously fit to use and good to use, you do have to have somebody who has a little depth in it. But I honestly couldn't see, I could see the value rather of a small to mid-sized company making the change. I'm most familiar with Ubuntu, and you know, that it's like putting on a comfortable pair of shoes. You just load it up and go. There's no guesswork there, you know. Mint, from what I know about it, is actually a little more friendly too. So those are two distros that are absolutely excellent, you know, and that people could fit right in. Wine. I wanted to make a comment on Wine, and I have had some experience with it that's been excellent. Paul's not here tonight, WQ1I, but you know, I've been talking to him about it as well. We're both Mac users. I use Wine on my iMac, I am running the Windows version of the Echolink software on that. Let me buy a nickel. I'm running my JT65 software through Wine on that, and a couple of other Windows only softwares as well, and it works extremely well. So Wine is an excellent vehicle to bridge the gap on a lot of OSs, that's for sure. So those were the two comments I had. I'm going to hand it over to Gordon now. KY6V, over to you, sir.
You've got me absolutely chuckling here. Gary, good evening to you, sir, and hi to you, Brian. Wine, huh? Woodbridge Chardonnay is my favorite, and I don't care if it's linked to Linux or not. I wanted to say to you, Daryl, that LCB is still having problems. I'm seeing him in the text box. He is coming through Delco Doug. And I suspect that he probably has a firewall issue. He can't seem to connect to SCARS direct. But at any rate, he's still there, sir. KY6V, over.
Yeah, QSL, yeah, thanks for that. And, yeah, I don't know if what you're using, George, if you're using a tablet or an Android smartphone or whatever, but there's only so many hosts available when you're running those operating systems. That's why my hopes and prayers are out there that I don't get disconnected, because I'm going to have a hell of a time trying to get back in with this Android device as well. When it comes to Equilink conferences, for some reason, it's a known issue. But if you want to jump in there now, George, if you got a comment, go ahead. LCB to take it, VO1UKZ.
Well, thank you, Daryl. I've got firewall turned off and everything. I hadn't been able to figure it out. You know, it's looking at my own system, but I keep getting a dialogue jumping up. Can't get it routed in the right direction. So that's about what I think about these things. I'm on a tablet there, a Samsung a tablet there, and you know, I've got to toggle back from screen to screen to go to the text, and then I've got to cuss the darn thing out to make it slide up so I can get a keyboard going. You know, you had mentioned, or maybe Gordon did, where's it all going to? I sure hope it all goes up in smoke. It has one big giant meltdown. You know, as far as computers, they nothing but causes stress, and I sure would like to see all this money getting a spent on people learning how to love one another a little bit more, but they sure will drive you crazy, you know, if you let it. And I'm at to that point at the moment there, and it's not going to be too long before I take every computer out of the house and phone out of the house and just play ham radio. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Now, that's a solution. Shut them all down, run an enormous magnet over the top of all of the cities, shoot out an electromagnetic pulse, and we'll all go back to using rotary telephones and go back to the 80s. The 80s were fun, though, weren't they? I grew up in the 80s. There was definitely no worries about the newest smartphone and the newest tablet back then. That's for sure. We've definitely come a long, long way. I'm going to touch on, I can't remember the call sign for the life of me, but YZR, was it, had a question about SSDs and what my opinion of said hard drives is. SSDs, solid state drives, a very, very fast solution. If you're one of these people that are staying on top of, and I hear the text box just going crazy, and I can't see it with the microphone up on the Android platform here, but yeah, they're a great solution if you need the extra speed. In tablets or convertible computers that you can take the screen off and then it's a tablet, I think they're an absolute must. Spinning parts in tablets, you know, moving things around, it's just not practical. So they're definitely a good solution in that regard. Their access times are a lot faster than your conventional spinning hard drive, because it's what it is. It's static memory. It's like a piece of RAM with the storage of a hard drive. So it's they're very, very practical in that regard. But one thing I'll recommend, if you go with a solid-state drive, don't ever, ever defragment it. You know, that's something we were taught from the early years of using a computer. It's highly recommended to defragment your hard drive, defragment your files every so often. But with a solid-state drive, do not defragment it, because you only get so many writes, and I mean so many thousand writes. But when you're defragmenting the drive, the number of writes that it that would take up is just astronomical. And you could end up burning out a solid-state drive a lot quicker than you ever could a magnetic one. If you go and do things like that, or just moving files around for the sake of doing it, it's not really recommended. They're a speed performance piece of hardware, but you've got to treat them right like anything else. But, yeah, that's about it when it comes to the solid-state drives. Now, with all of these, all the talk this evening about all of these platforms, you know, Windows 10, your Android stuff, somebody mentioned Apple in there somewhere. But, yeah, just I'm going to throw another one into the mix now that we got to talking about Linux. And if anybody wants to try Linux and learn it, it is a good operating system. And this is a topic that I wanted to touch on, and closer to the end of the program. We're already an hour and a half in, and there hasn't been any dead air yet, so I guess it's going well. Raspberry Pis. We got to talking about one.
I think we may have lost Daryl. Hopefully, it was only for a second. Let's see if he's back there again. Daryl, come on in, please.
Yeah, QSL, it was only for a second, and I, like you say, I must have timed out a little bit, but I fortunately got it back quick enough. I did see LVQ come up. Jump in there, sir, and add to the festivities this evening. VO1UKZ.
And Six Factor with a dad on.
Sorry, it wasn't LVQ, it was Jim, QY. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, yes, sir. I didn't recognize myself Good evening. And, I've enjoyed this so far this season. I found out one thing. I think I need to give a whole lot more attention to my Ubuntu. I'm one of them casters that just, I'm not real crazy about getting out of XP. It does my job fine. And I don't see no need to go no higher. But, I look like I'm gonna have to, because when I wear these computers out, I won't be able to buy one. So I'm beginning to think that Ubuntu maybe be the way I go next. But anyway, be that as it may, I just wanted to say good evening to all, and myself and KV4QX is also
you're
listening. Over.
Yeah, QSL, Jim, and thanks for stopping in here this evening and saying hello to us, and hello to Rebecca as well. And I hope everything is going well down in your neck of the woods. Yep, Ubuntu is definitely an option, and I'm not sure how quickly I timed out the last time, but we got to talking about wine and all of this kind of stuff, so I said we'll talk about the Raspberry Pi. You know, to go with the wine and the Linux and all of the rest of it that we seem to be flowing towards. And it is coming up, like you say, just past an hour and a half into the program. So I did want to mention this coming closer to the end this evening. The Raspberry Pi is a tiny, tiny cigarette package-sized computer. And for all intents and purposes, for those that are not familiar with it, it is a fully functioning computer, sound card, display card, RAM, processor, the whole works. Everything except for a hard drive is included in this tiny little thing. It has four USB ports on it, a display port, a HDMI port, you know, can be hooked up to a standard def monitor, whatever you want to hook it up to. And its storage, you pop in an SD card or a micro SD card in the newer versions of it. So it's the Raspberry Pi, Pi spelled P-I, And it's basically a computer project that was meant originally to bring computing to the parts of the world where before computers were, you know, unreachable. So let me drop for a second. Okay, hopefully that one was long enough not to time out the IRLP nodes. So basically you put an SD card into this thing. You install Linux on it. That's what it's made to run with. It's made to run with Linux, a number of the various distributions that are out there. It's quite the powerful little unit. I understand the newer ones even have a dual-core processor, if I'm not mistaken, and a gig or two of RAM. I'm not extremely up on them. But when computers happen to cross over from time to time into this hobby we call amateur radio, and these Raspberry Pis can actually be set up to run things like media servers, you know, deliver all your media from external hard drives, you know, to your televisions and whatnot else. It can be set up for that. It can be set up to run Echolink nodes and IRLP nodes in place of a full computer system. They can be set up to run little file servers in your house, all kinds of different applications. Or you can just set it up and use it as if it were a regular computer, because after all it is, it's just a tiny, less powerful computer, but it's still capable of doing all the things when you get an operating system set up on it. It's capable of doing all the things that our other computers are capable of doing. So it's a very, very inexpensive solution, and that's the key point with this thing, $35. For a Raspberry Pi. For the $35, you get the base Raspberry Pi computer. Or for $70, you can get the all-inclusive Raspberry Pi that comes with the SD card, with the USB cable to power the thing, and, a USB Wi-Fi adapter, because it doesn't have built-on Wi-Fi. You do need to plug in a USB adapter, but it does have a network port. So it's a fully functioning little computer, and it'll make Roger happy. It runs Linux, and only Linux, pretty much, different variations of it. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about the Raspberry Pi or about any other topics we covered this evening. I hear the text box is lighting up, so I'm going to take a pause for the cause and see if anybody wants to jump in. This is VO1 UKZ with the monthly TIN.
Daryl. This is Fred, K2HA. I was looking at either the Raspberry Pi or the BeagleBone Black. Which one would work better with ham radio?
W4FJ for comments.
RMO with a comment.
And Yankee Zulu Romeo with a comment.
Okay, we're going to stop it there before I run out of screen again. Excellent stuff. I've got RFJ, RMO, and YZR. First of all, I'll get to your question, K2HA. Thanks for joining us this evening. Depends what you want to use it for. You're talking about the BeagleBone Black, so you're obviously talking D-Star. And that's a topic that I absolutely love. I'm an avid D-Star operator, and have been so for over 3 years now. Absolutely love it. It is a fantastic, fantastic part of the hobby. And it incorporates all this stuff we're talking, computers and the internet and voice over IP and all of these great things. But it's digital radio as well, so you get the digital data and digital voice portions of it, so it really takes the cake. I would highly recommend, if you're looking at setting up a hotspot, which I guess you are, you're going to need a radio for either one of these solutions to set up like a 25-watt or a 45-watt simplex hotspot for D-Star. That's what you'd use the BeagleBone Black for, and you'd still have to use that in conjunction with a Raspberry Pi or a computer running a type of software to set up a hotspot. But if you're looking to get into D-Star, you can go with the DVAP. That will plug right into a computer or a Raspberry Pi, and then you need a D-Star radio for any of those solutions. But with the BeagleBone, you still need some other things. So I don't know if you've considered all of those, but if you go with the BeagleBone and a Raspberry Pi, you need a radio with 9600 baud capability as well. So there's a lot of things to factor in. If you wanted to chat about that, after the net is over this evening, in about a half an hour's time or so, I suppose, I'll stick around for a few minutes and I'll answer any questions you've got about D-Star or anything like that. But in the meantime, we'll throw it over to RFJ with a comment. Go ahead, VO1 UKZ.
And VO1 UKZ from W4RFJ in the net. And I got to tell you, I've been diving into some of these Beagle Bones and Raspberry Pis. I have a Beagle Bone that's set up with a USB sound card interface to interface All-Star, Echolink, IRLP, and all that stuff. And I'm still experimenting with that. But we were talking about Raspberry Pis, and Fred had asked if which one would be best used for amateur radio. Well, again, you answered that well, Daryl. It depends on what you're trying to do. I'm presently setting up some Raspberry Pis to use for HF Pactor and for VHF UHF packet, also including TCP/IP and all that other happy stuff. And I'm also utilizing a Raspberry Pi to develop a Wi-Fi mesh node. Just so that everybody knows, Daryl, the Raspberry Pi version A is a 700 megahertz ARM processor with 256 mega RAM. Let me reset here for a second. Okay, the Raspberry Pi B is a, and it only has two USB ports. The Raspberry Pi B has two USB ports, 512 megabytes of RAM, and a 700 megahertz ARM processor. The B Plus has four USB ports, 512 megabytes of RAM, and one single ARM processor with all the other stuff just set up a little bit differently. And then my latest version that I haven't had a chance to play with yet is the Raspberry Pi 2B, which looks just like a B Plus. However, it has 1 gig of RAM and has a quad-core 900 megahertz processor. So that's what's going on with the Raspberry Pis. As far as amateur radio, any one of them can do just about anything you want it to do, whether it's voice over IP, packet radio, digital data, D-Star, you name it, you can make it do it. They are all pretty much ported to Linux. So I think I've said my piece. Back to Daryl, W4RFJ.
Absolutely, that covered every Raspberry Pi board that was out since the creation of the Raspberry Pi about three, four years ago. But most people now, if you buy one now, you're going to get the Raspberry Pi version 2 board, like you say, with the 1 gig of RAM and the quad-core processor, the four USB ports, and the micro SD card slot as opposed to the full-size card. So, yeah, lots of options when it comes to the Raspberry Pi. RMO had a comment as well. Go ahead and pick it up.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. And I just wanted to advance an observation that you know, that's an ARM processor in that, and that is the same processor that you find in many smartphones. So, you know, that's where this power is coming from. But what a great device. I mean, you know, you can use it for computing, you can turn it into a transmitter, you can do it does everything but the dishes for you. Yeah, so it's pretty cool stuff. I'm definitely going to be getting a hold of one or two of these kids and see what we can do with them. So it's piqued my curiosity. That's for sure. It looks like just one more thing that I can try to sink my teeth into. It's a great hobby. I love this. Back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Yes, sir. And you notice, let me drop it. Just wanted to drop it to make sure I didn't pick up too quick time out some repeaters again. But, you're right, exactly right, Adam. There's so much of this stuff. We've barely scratched the surface. We've been all flapping our gums here for almost 2 hours, and we've barely scratched the surface of all of this stuff. I mean, there's, just so many things you can do, so many different operating systems. At the end of the day, you've really got to, just have a solid idea about what you want to do, what's going to work for you at the end of the day, and fit it all together from there. All right, we had YZR with a final comment before we start to wrap things up here on the the monthly TIN net here on South Cars. Why is it there? Go ahead and pick it up.
Hey, Darrell, VEO1UKZQ9, why is it there? Yeah, very interesting, I guess, and you know, talking about Linux operating systems. I tried a whole bunch of them myself. Yeah, it takes too long to name them all. Like, tried all the ones I could find, you know, like Ubuntu and Kubuntu, and even one called Ultimate Gamers Edition. And someone mentioned Linux Mint. I tried about three different ones of those. I think Gloria was one, and Mate was another. I even tried a Linux M. That's a Media Center edition of Linux. The reason why I tried that one is because I had this Hupaz or Hupagi, however you pronounce H-A-U-P-A-U-G-D-E. It had a two radio and TV receiver that I bought in 2006. And then, of course, it died later on me. But I took the card out, and I was using Linux MCE so I could watch TV on the PC. But I never could get the radio part of it to work. But that one was a little interesting. There was a video and audio recording of this lady telling you how to set the Linux MCE up. But I used that one for quite a while. That one's mainly designed, though, for security systems and closed-circuit TV cameras and lighting systems and stuff like that. But I was using it to watch TV on it. And as far as Win XP goes, I bought this Agfa ePhoto digital camera at Kmart when Win XP first came out. And it was on sale half price, pretty cheap. Then I found out later why they no longer supported the drivers for that beyond Win XP and not for the printers too, I guess. And so you're kind of stuck if you want to use that. But it didn't matter because I got a camcorder later and that takes digital photos anyhow and video. 7-3 back to net, VO1UKZ, KC9YZR.
Yeah, QSO. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of it out there and a lot of it to try and digest. Well, we're coming up here on the start of the second hour in about 10 minutes or so. Is there anybody else that wanted to jump in and say hello this evening or speak your piece or comment on any of the stuff that we're after bringing up here this evening? Raspberry Pis, Linux, Windows 10, Android, you know, all of this stuff. It's, you know, a lot of us don't know if it's fit to eat, but... if it is, at least we can put some ice cream on our Raspberry Pis. Anyway, any other stations wanted to check in and say hello for this evening? This is VO1UKZ.
Daryl, I just have to say I like apple pie and Edie's ice cream. KY6V said that.
There you go. You can write it down and take it to the bank for sure. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, comments, concerns, issues, problems, any of that kind of stuff, I guess that'll probably be it for all the topics I had on the notepad for this evening. Is there anything else you wanted to throw in there for good measure, Gordon?
No, sir. But thank you for being here, sir. Very much appreciated. Over.
Anytime at all. All right. I don't know if Kathy's still around to close it down. I'll make one more shout-out for any... questions, comments, concerns, any of that fine stuff, anybody that had any trouble getting in earlier perhaps that would like to jump in before we close things down for this evening. This is and has been VO1UKZ.
RFJ.
And VXP.
Okay, it looks like it's going to be RFJ and then VXP to take us home for this evening. Go ahead, Roger. VO1UKZ.
Okay, Daryl. Thank you very much. I just wanted to throw it out to those on the net. I don't know everything about the Raspberry Pis or Linux or computers, or I try not to pretend that I know more than anybody else, and I really don't. Every day I learn something new, but if there's any way, shape, or form that I could partake in a discussion or be of assistance or help out in any way, I just wanted to throw it out that I'm good in QRZ, W4RFJ at ARRL.net. Will get an email to me, and any way I can provide any assistance, please feel free to call upon me. Over.
Excellent stuff, Roger, and much appreciated. W4RFJ and the net, this is VO1UKZ. All right, we'll throw it over to you, Rick, for possibly the final call of the evening. N1VXP to take it, VO1UKZ.
Very good, N1TXP. Always enjoy these nets. Always learn something new. And I think I'll leave it at learn something. And always enjoy TINs with computer related. With the thought that maybe the next TIN that would be of interest would be on the smartwatches, Apple Watch and others that are related. I think that would be a really good one after people have tried them and get their views and likes and dislikes. And want the XP back to net control.
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. That's another can of worms altogether when it comes to this mobile computing aspect. And yeah, there are several different varieties of smartwatch, even taking it down a whole another size of device altogether. A computer that you can wear on your wrist. You know, takes me back to what Gordon said back at the start of the program, where are we going? And I mean, I don't think we're going to stop until we all get surgical implants at birth that put a, a Windows 15 powered device. Well, I don't know if I'd want to have something running Windows inside my head. I highly doubt it. Maybe something running Android, you know, a version of Android Wear that runs on these Google-powered smartwatches. Who knows? But anyway, I guess it's all left to be seen for the future. There's a lot of real cool things coming down the pipe. Holographic displays is another one we didn't touch on this evening. A small orb you put in the center of your desk and it projects your screen into the air in the next 3 years or so. That'll be available. Then you've got the ever-popular Google self-driving car, computer-operated transport with no human interference other than to guide a GPS. I don't know. Pros and cons in all directions on that one. Anyway, if there's no one else that wanted to jump in and say hello or goodbye or anything else this evening, I'm going to pass it over to you or Kathy, Gordon, whoever wants to pick it up and close her down for this evening. It is 22 minutes past the hour, so we'll pass it over to whichever one of you guys want to take it and close her down. If there's no further comments, leaving a pause for which right now. This is the O1UKZ.
Thanks, Daryl, and Kathy will close. Kathy, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, everyone, tonight. But I did see that JDH came aboard, wanted to make a comment. So before I close, I'll throw it to him. Good evening to you, David, and what's your comments this evening?
Well, hi, Kathy, and hello, Gordon. I don't get a chance to be on here very often, but I drove up from Ocean City, Maryland, up to the Coatesville home tonight, and unfortunately I'm going to be going to a funeral tomorrow, but I got your email with the schedule, and I thought, computers, there's something I'm interested in, since I've got a desktop, a netbook, a laptop, two iPads, and a Droid phone, which got Windows and Apple system and Droid system. So I'm sure I could have enjoyed a great deal tonight's comments. But since it's the end of the show, at least I got on. I was having some difficulties. I kept getting this no root pop-up when I tried to connect, and finally it did. So anyway, good evening to all. And I see Gary was on there, so I will just say great to be on, even though it's late, and hope everybody has a great weekend. We're looking for snow tomorrow. Not looking for it, but we're going to have snow tomorrow, up to 3 to 6 inches. So perhaps that'll be the end of the line, since I believe tomorrow's the first day of spring. So 7-3s to everybody, and thanks for your patience, Kathy, and helping me get on and waiting for me to find the route. Take care. Back to net control. K6SUN.
All right. Thank you, David, for coming aboard. Thank you, everyone, for coming aboard this evening. It's been a real great session. And, you know, Daryl, I'm actually looking into a tablet at this point because Roger, RFJ, had that tablet and was very interested. So I'm going to be looking into that. But I do want to thank everyone for being here tonight, and actually this session, I'm sure, will be posted on our website, so hopefully you'll listen. So maybe before I close, Let me just throw it out there one final time and see if there's anyone else that would like to come aboard. All right. I'm seeing no one this evening. So thank you, everyone, for joining our TIM. But I'm actually going to close. This has been South Coast, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. The OIP net schedules and general information may be found on our website, and that's www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control this evening has actually been VOI1 UKZ with backups of KY6B and KC2RMO. But this is Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November. I'm going to say 73. I'm going to close this net. And I want to thank you for your participation. The net is now closed and returned to regular amateur use. But we ask that you join us on Saturday, I believe the 21st, for our nets, AM Connection and SSIN. But do check out our schedule. So with that, the net is now closed. Have a great evening, everyone. Stay warm, stay cold, but join us when you can. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November saying bye-bye for now.
All right, Kathy, thanks very much, and you have yourself a terrific evening. Yeah, we're definitely staying cold up here with a balmy negative 6 degrees Celsius right now and a dusting of snow falling. So definitely going to stay cold up this way. Have yourself a good one, VO1 UKZ. I'm going to be clear as well, guys. I'm a bit tired. It's, I don't know, what time? 10:30 up here in Newfoundland, so I'm going to be clear. 7-3s. Enjoyed hanging out with you guys this evening.